We pick up our study today in Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And the Bible says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. By man's measurement, some people are better than others. And I suppose in a way, that's true. A hardworking individual who takes care of his family is better than a mass murderer. But by God's measurement, we're all the same. Essentially, we're all the same because the Bible says, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In that sense, we're all the same. None of us are up to God's standards. Some may be better than others, but we're not up to God's standards. 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No one is perfect. No one is good enough to make it to heaven by their own merits, not even one. 11. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. You know, the natural tendency of man is to run away from God. Man runs from God because God's holiness makes sinners feel uncomfortable. 12. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. And will you look at the description that God gives of man in these verses? Let's just go back and read 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. And by the way, unprofitable means worthless. That is what God says about human beings. Sin has destroyed man and made him worthless in the eyes of God. And of course, this is not a popular message today, even among Christians, which is why so many untruths are told about man's depravity, because this isn't popular. I heard an evangelical preacher a while back, and actually I've heard many over the years, say that we are of such great worth to God. Well, now that's funny. Because God says there is none who does good. God says we have all become worthless. So who are you going to believe? You can't believe both. You have to choose. Are you going to believe the word of God? Or are you going to believe some preacher who wants to be popular and wants a big offering? I've heard Christian preachers say Jesus died on the cross because you are worth so much, when the exact opposite is true. See, the thing that makes God's grace so amazing, and the thing that makes his love so amazing, is that he suffered and died for worthless sinners. If Jesus died on the cross for us because we were so lovable, then his death would have been more to do with, to some extent anyway, how lovable we were instead of his grace. But that's just not true. And yet many evangelicals rewrite the scripture to say that God so loved the world because we were so irresistible. How could he possibly resist loving us? That's what people want to think. That's what many preachers tell them. But it is not true, and it is an insult to the grace of God. God doesn't love us because we are lovable or because we are of such great worth. God loves us because it is his nature to love. And that truth is not going to make us feel good about the human race. It's not going to make us feel good about ourselves. But it should make us feel good about God. And it should also make us grateful that he is so gracious to us. 13, for the promise, went ahead. Chapter 3, verse 13. Their throat is an open tomb, continuing in his description of man. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. People use their tongues in very nasty ways sometimes. We've probably all experienced words that bite like vipers, and in fact are worse than the bite of a viper, because a lot of times you never forget nasty words that have been spoken to you. You might be able to get over a snake bite, and sometimes it's hard to get past words. 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? People curse. That's the definition of a human race. A human is somebody who curses. They take God's name in vain. Or when something happens they don't like, they use other words to curse. You know why? It's because man is depraved. And their thinking is depraved. People think way too highly of themselves. Somehow, they think that they deserve to have things their way, which is why they get upset and curse when that's not the case. 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Not every human being is a murderer, but every human being has hated. And according to Jesus, that's murdering someone in your heart. Doesn't matter if it's murder or hatred. The point is, people are so selfish and corrupt that they don't see any problem with either hating another human being or taking it one step further, in some cases, murdering someone who was created in the image and likeness of God. You know, that person has angered me so much that I'm going to snuff out his or her life and I'm going to be justified in doing it. You better believe it. 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the reason this world has so many problems is that sinful man keeps doing things their way instead of God's way. 17. And the way of peace they have not known. Sinful, self-centered man will never have the peace that they say they want. They don't want peace. You know what? If you wanted peace, you would have it. If the human race wanted peace, they would have it. You say, people want peace. Oh, yeah. People want peace until someone else has something they want. Then they throw the lofty idea of peace out the window. People want peace until someone says something they don't like. Then they throw the lofty idea of peace out the window again. People want sin more than they want peace, which is why in all of human recorded history, at least 6,000 years, the amount of years in which no countries, cities, or tribes waged official war with each other is less than 300 years. And lately, it hasn't been any better. In fact, since the beginning of World War I in 1914, there has been continual conflict somewhere in the world. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's the fundamental problem with man. And that's the root of all sin. And all of its terrible consequences, too. man doesn't fear God. He doesn't fear God enough to stay away from doing evil. And when the Word of God is not proclaimed clearly, when God's standard of right and wrong is watered down in order to make sinners feel more comfortable, that just increases sin. It lessens any fear that someone might have of God. This is why this sort of preaching and teaching needs to stop. Men of God need to boldly proclaim the truth. If you want the world to get better, if you want people to get better, then the Word of God needs to be preached so that man develops a fear of God. See, I don't think we should talk about the fear of God. Well, the Bible talks an awful lot about it. Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. God's law was never a means to salvation. God's law was given to show us that we are guilty of sin. 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. There are those who believe that if they do a fairly good job keeping God's commandments, then they will be saved. But the Bible says that no one is saved by the law of God or by keeping the commandments. The commandments were given to show us that we had disobeyed God and therefore are in trouble with him and we need a Savior. That's the purpose of the law, as well as to give us God's standards and to show what his character is like. 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. God doesn't save anyone through his law, but he doesn't leave us hanging out there with no hope either. We are not righteous enough to save ourselves, but God has a perfect righteousness that he will give us for free. And that perfect righteousness is his own. Notice what it says in verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. If something must get done and you can't do it yourself, then you have to trust someone who can, right? That's just the way it works. I can't do plumbing or electrical work, so I have to trust the plumber or electrician who I hire. And it's the same way with salvation. Same thing exactly. We can't save ourselves. We don't have what it takes to save ourselves. We are hopeless to save ourselves. But if we trust Jesus Christ to save us, then he will. We are saved by putting our faith in Christ and his death on the cross, which paid the penalty for our sins. 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all in the same boat. None of us are perfect. And that means we are in trouble because perfection is God's standard. Perfection is what God is, and perfection is what is needed by us to get into heaven. You say, well, that leaves me out. It leaves everyone out. But that is the desperate condition of the human race.